Hi, I'm Tyra G, your host for Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to your virtual global gathering of phenomenal women and all of you who love them. Yes, you, fearsome and generous, humble and honest, in pursuit of possibilities and purpose. Every week we meet here for 1 hour to educate, encourage, experience, and empower one another through our joy and our lessons learned. We talk about things that tradition tells us there's some things you just don't talk about, but not here, because here we live beyond the wreckage. Each week we start right where we are. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device. And we are webcast worldwide every Saturday night at 8 o'clock. www.radiofairfax.org. And yes, I do know Saturday is date night, and I do know that there are a lot of competing priorities. But guess what? No worries. If you miss us, all you have to do is go to YouTube and key in Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. And some of you have been having a lot of big fun with me on email. You know I like it though, right? Offline, you can reach me at tyra@tyragarlington.com. Thank you, Courtney Nero, for creating, composing, and performing our theme song. But most importantly, I love the fact that you named it, I'm Listening. Hey, guess what? It's January, a brand new year. But this month, the Frankly Speaking family is going to flip that script. You know, the one where they tell us, make a New Year's resolution. Well, we're not going to do that. No, because that's based on the assumption that in some way we are less than. And we must do something within a period of time to make us more. Now, make no mistake, right now, right here. Not who you were yesterday, not who you're going to be tomorrow, but right now. You have everything you need to be the person you were created to be. There's nothing that we're missing. Guess what? We are amazing just as we are. So this month, we're celebrating us, who we are right now. And we're celebrating some things that the mirror and social media are not going to tell you, okay? Consider this. Life is an ongoing process. It is not made up of an event that just has a beginning and an end. Every time it rains, it stops raining. Every time we get hurt, we heal. After darkness, there is always light. We're reminded of this every single morning, but still we can forget. And instead, we choose to believe that the night will last forever. It won't. Nothing lasts forever. I chose this month's theme. You heard me say I chose it. It didn't come from one of you this time. And I called it Chocolates After Midnight. Now that's all symbolism, right? Midnight, you know, even a cold gets worse than midnight. Midnight is the rain. Chocolates symbolize the rainbows. So we're looking at ourselves and how we relate and respond to life's seasons. Every week this month, we're going to pause in the sitting room of our busy lives and take our seat at the table of promise and purpose. We're going to share some aha moments through stories that call up all kinds of laughter and sometimes tears that have been left in our pockets for way too long. In doing so, we're going to reveal that nothing, no thing that has happened in our lives has been wasted. Most importantly, we're going to walk in the truth that we are and we were never alone. God blessed us with his grace, which is sufficient for anything that we must face. And he also gave us some chocolate treats, which we call family and friends. Now, the dress code for this month, each one of us are required to wear our inner awesome. Last week I read from the prologue of my book, or the introduction, if you will, of my memoir called The Memory Box, A True Story of the Power and Protection of God's Grace. My agenda was to provide a common thought space for our conversation and to share more about why I'm so passionate about us getting together every week and to create a safe community where we can discover the best part of ourselves together. I kicked off the month with two women who have been chocolate rainbows and pillars of support during midnight and vessels of fun throughout my life since I met them. I talked to my BFF, that's my best friend forever, of 50 years, and her daughter, my goddaughter. The show kind of just morphed into a free-form audio slumber party. I guess for people of a certain age, we should call it a play date, an adult play date, filled with memories that touched over five generations and just about every single emotion. But you know what it was all about? It was all about never ending, all accepting love between friends. This week I want to continue the theme of friendship that emerges and sustains us through our seasons of midnight and chocolate. To create our common thought space, I want to focus more on the journey or the process of living. I'm going to channel the words of author Susan Taylor from her book, In the Spirit, and I began. Life is a process, a learning experience. We don't discover all of life's answers all at once, but over time, through many and varied and necessary experiences, we will have hundreds of arrivals, and still we will not have reached our destination. If we are alive, we are in the process of becoming. The purpose of our journey is to learn to live in harmony with the reciprocal laws of life, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to trust that whatever we give to life comes back multiplied. It is to understand that we can never withdraw from life what we have not invested in it. Love and reciprocity. These are the laws of creation that we are here to discover and live by. Wherever we are on our life's journey, we are always moving toward this realization. Each of us comes to this awareness of truth in his or her own way. Some lessons are easily learned. Some are incredibly difficult. There are lessons in wealth, in poverty, in defeat, in victory, in physical challenge. While some of us may be learning a lesson by raising a child, others of us may be learning a lesson by losing a child. Individual lessons are our schooling, the episodes with which life seasons us. Yet, it is difficult to recognize the opportunity for growth while we're experiencing it. Most of the time, we acknowledge the benefits of what's happening to us in retrospect. That's why we know life is a journey in self-discovery and discovering our enormous power. Did you know we have the power to build? We can build a home, a city, a nation. And like our brother Jesus, each soul has dominion. Each of us has the power to heal ourselves, to heal one another, to heal our world. We're responsible for how we use our power every step of our journey. You know how I'm always reminding you, gently reminding you, of the fact that we came here with everything we need to be who we were created to be? Well, guess what? How well or how wise we live the journey is dependent on our ability to recognize, connect with, and accept the power within us. Now here's the punchline, or the bottom line. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes saying yes to the power within us requires, in addition to faith, a little help from our friends. This month's theme, Chocolate After Midnight, is about love without her wings, also known as friendship, and its sustainability. Whether midnight lasts for 60 seconds or whether it feels like forever. With this in mind, this month's show started to feel like an adult playdate. Friends celebrating survival and learnings, maybe even crying over. But friends you've shared space and time with as life came through you. After a short break, I'm going to begin this sister friend playdate with someone who's been a great guest on Frankly Speaking with Tyra G before. But guess what? Today, she's going to bless us with more of her amazing. You stay close now.
This is Radio Fairfax, freeform programming, created by the people, for the people of Fairfax County, Virginia. Call us or email us, 703-560-TALK, or radiofairfax@fcac.org.
This is Ted Little inviting you to be with me this Monday at noon for Jukebox Noon Tunes. I'll play music from the 50s through today, as varied as Elvis and the Bare Naked Ladies. Highlights include news with a humorous twist, movies you may have missed, and a preview of your favorite Monday night TV programs. I want you to be with me Mondays at noon on Jukebox Noon Tunes.
Hello, my name is Sharon Murray. I'm your host on Heartbeat, Thursdays at 12 noon. It's an inspirational program filled with messages of hope and love and a variety of heartwarming, inspirational music. You can succeed as long as success is in every beat of your heart. And I look forward to you joining me on Heartbeat, Thursdays at 12 noon on Radio Fairfax.
An important message from Medicare.
When my son first told me about extra help from Medicare, I said, thanks, but no thanks. I didn't want any help paying for my prescriptions. I told him, I don't have much money coming in, but I still have my pride. Besides, I looked into it a couple years ago. I figured if I didn't qualify then, I wouldn't qualify now either. My, oh my, am I ever glad my son didn't give up on me. He reminded me that I was on a limited income and that it was easier than ever for people like me to qualify. So, I called, and he was right. Now I pay just a few dollars for generics and a few dollars more for brand name prescriptions. With extra help, I can afford the prescriptions I need. Thanks, Medicare.
Get the extra help you need to stay healthy. Visit socialsecurity.gov or call 1-800-772-1213.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds, someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
I'm 4 years old, and I'm the only one in my whole class that can tie his own shoes.
My mom took me to the circus for my birthday. Half my friends already went, but now I've gone too.
Most kids make fun of me because I still believe in the tooth fairy.
but I got $5 yesterday, I believe. A third of the kids in my 8th grade class drink alcohol regularly.
Over 99% of my class has been offered illegal drugs.
Half of my college classmates binge drink, abuse drugs, or do both. But the frequent dinners I had with my family have helped make sure I'm not one of them.
Go to CasaFamilyDay.org. Take the Family Day Pledge and get tips on how to talk to your kids about drugs and alcohol. Have dinner with them often, and you can significantly lower their risk of substance abuse. Dinner makes a difference. A message from the National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University.
And we are back. I promised you a wonderful guest. Welcome, Jalee.
Hello.
She is, I also call her Boo, and I've been trying to figure out what that means, and I've come up with this as a translation as I'm sitting here looking at her. Boo between Jolly and Tyra means amazing friend.
Yes. Hi, Boo.
Hey. I have to tell you what my amazing friend was saying before we started the show. She says, you know, we ought to come one day, sit in the studio, dressed in our hats and our gloves and our best paraphernalia. And I said, yeah, we could have high tea. And she said, see, that's what I'm talking about. You can get old as dirt, but you can have fun the rest of your life. And before I ask Jolly to introduce herself, I'm going to take a risk and share something with you that I share with her. This is a very special day for both of us. And I'm so glad she's here with me because I need her today. I didn't know this about her, and she didn't know this about me. Today is the anniversary of my mother's passing, and it's also the anniversary of her brother's passing.
Yes, the second anniversary.
Yes, the second anniversary. And we celebrate them so because we love them so, but at the same time, there's something else going on. If you're human, there's always something else going on. We ask ourselves, how can we fill this hole? So I hope through the show and the things we talk about, you'll be encouraged that you can go on. As long as you have faith and friendship, you can make it through the rain. And with the help of the rainbow, you'll make it to the next step. So Jolly, you know the drill. Tell the listening audience who you really are.
Hi, Boo. You mentioned in your communication earlier to me that, you know, think of yourself as a book.
Yes.
In the human library.
Yes.
Well, you know me. I'm a very visual person.
Yes.
So right away, I asked, which room, which shelf, what's the row number, and under what title?
Now, see, I have to break in and put a comma. She's an engineer, okay? Only an engineer. I never would have come up with the library location.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
And because in a human library, the books vary from fascinating to heartbreaking. And everything in between. Now, I have to thank you for giving me some guidelines in terms of time, because more and more we now, the trend is being developed that, you know what, have an elevator speech ready. Tell the other person in the elevator, or pretend you're in an elevator with another person, and in 30 seconds or less, tell them who you are, what you're capable of, so that you make them want to do A, B, C, and or D. I find that very unfair. So thank you for giving me a little bit more than 30 seconds. We, as books, have titles, have covers, but as the saying goes, never judge a book by its title or its cover. So, my name is Jolly Moslehi. My first name means D-E-W. And my last name means the person who seeks peace. I came to the States. I'm a bicultural woman, and I'm going to take you on a journey with me today, like 2.5 minutes. So I came to the States as a determined, stubborn teenager, wanting to break barriers, studying engineering, and above all, make a difference, so forth and so on. Well, studying engineering was actually pretty easy for me. Before I knew it, I was able to get a master's degree in geotechnical engineering. And my memories of the last few years in my birthplace are pretty dark, as you know. I have shared those with you. I left my birthplace, Iran, in a very tumultuous time, right before the revolution of 1979. So the violence, the unrest, the violence I witnessed and I was actually encountered with are places I don't want to necessarily go. So what I did, I packed my suitcase with the colors of the apple and quince blossoms, with the fragrance of the ripe quince and sour cherries, with the magic of the words of Rumi and Hafiz. I got on a plane and I came to the States to make a difference. As I said, education, getting an education, because I had nothing else to do and I didn't really speak the language, so I studied hard. That was the easy part. And then I realized that's not why I'm here. Why am I here? To make a difference, to seek justice. That was difficult. Picture this. An Iranian woman studying geotechnical engineering, wanting to make a difference, seeking justice, that's difficult. Now you might ask me, why is it difficult? Because just the type of person I am, grace, being graceful is the bedrock of who I think every woman, every man should be. Taking the higher road, being the bigger person, respecting every individual for who they are, who they represent, their wishes, their pains, that becomes rather complicated. So here I am. I work for the government. Yeah. And I also work in the nonprofit sector, as you know. Mm-hmm. I help women. I help women with a variety of things. I'm sure that you're going to ask me more questions. So this segment is just introducing myself. Do you know me now?
If you don't know me by now,
you'll never know.
You'll never, ever. What's so wild about this, and I guess maybe I do wish it were video or TV, is now picture this. Okay. Jali has told you she's Iranian.
Mm-hmm.
What she didn't tell you is that she's packaged as a petite, gorgeous woman, okay? Now, if the two of us are together, I am African-American, very tall, right?
And very beautiful.
Oh, okay. And what's funny is when we're together mm-hmm. and the introductions are made, we just say we're sisters, and we have such a ball just reading the faces because people are, seriously? You know, and we just let that, we don't ever explain
it.
We don't ever explain it.
Yeah.
But you can tell by what she said this is what I would add to that. She's extremely sensitive. So often when she's presenting, it's like poetry. And what I hope you got, her name, her first name, Dew, D-E-W, and her last name, the person who seeks peace. And that's one of the things that happened when Jolly and I met each other. And it hasn't been that long.
No.
What, 9, 10 years maybe?
That's about it.
That's about it?
Yeah, that's about
we
it.
Knew of one another.
Yes.
Because we, our organizations crossed. But I met Jolly when I was in a huge midnight, a personal one and a professional one. And I had been moved from a very visual position to an outpost, if you will.
And satellite office.
Satellite, right? And it turned out our offices were across from one another.
Right.
So over a period of time, mm-hmm. we found out, okay, we both have 2 boys. We both have been divorced. Mm-hmm. We both know blended families.
Yep.
And just finding out those things, we found out, yeah, and we both know pain, right?
Yeah, I like to think that, you know, it was during a midnight of my life that you moved across the hallway from me. Our offices now, when we say across the hall, maybe my estimation, 4 feet and 10 inches apart from one another. So I would just lift my head up every morning, and there she was behind her desk. And there was something about this tall, beautiful woman that is, it didn't just attract me. Let me tell you something about her office. There was this zebra chair. Upholstery was like the zebra design. And that zebra chair, I to this day, I'm convinced there's some invisible force in there, because people just came, sat on that chair, and shared their life stories and life moments with Tyra. So I witnessed this happening, this very frequent happening, and that made me more curious than anything else. And now, after almost 10 years, my God, I'm in your web. I am in the web of your charm, grace, beauty, kindness.
Okay, now we need to tell. Now, that was her view of things, right?
Yes.
And I do have to say this. Yes, people did come. I do not know why they came. And I was broken. But the fact that they came, I felt a need to connect mm-hmm. and to listen to them. So I found out something new about me, that in my brokenness, I could still deposit something positive in someone else. And Jolly helped me with this, because every day, roundabout afternoon, she came with tea.
Yeah, it has started, actually, the whole idea began like this. Well, you know, I drink a cup of coffee in the morning, but then that's it. In the afternoon, I have to have tea. Mm. Remember, I'm born Iranian, so tea is a must-have, you know, especially in the afternoon or for any other social occasion. You know, you say hi, and the other person, if you're ever in Tehran, you say, hi, how are you? They look at you and say, would you like a cup of tea? You know,
exactly.
That is their response to everything. So it started for me as like, you know, this poor woman has been sitting behind her desk talking and talking to a number of people who have come, and the zebra, that magical zebra chair, has attracted them, and they have been sitting in that chair for hours at times. So she must, her throat must be just bone dry. So I thought, well, heck, I'm making tea for myself. Why not make a second cup for her? That's how it began. But then it became our thing. It
yes.
became the
yes.
thing that you and I shared.
Yes.
And I know when you moved away, the first thing I asked you was like, you know, are you having tea in the afternoon? Is there someone in your life that can bring you a cup of tea? between the hours of, I don't know, depending on how I...
Around two-ish.
Two-ish, yeah. Between two and three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for me, again, it's something about, she talked about the chair. I think it was something about the tea. Because there were times we'd sit in the office and we'd be quiet, and sometimes a tear would drop from my eye into my tea.
Mm.
And you just sat.
Yep.
And you listened sometimes to my silence. And
those were such powerful moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you connect with someone and you see no need for words.
Yeah.
You see no need to reach and say it is going to be okay.
Right, right.
You just sit there and you let your presence do yeah. the speaking.
And gosh, I wish you knew her. I wish you were here with her and me. Her presence. See, that's the whole thing, a presence.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wasn't alone. I knew that. And my pain was professionally induced, and there were a lot of people that knew about it. And there were a lot of conversations about it
mm-hmm.
Behind my back, my staff. It was ugly. And yet, when Jali was sitting there and we were drinking tea, I got in touch with my dignity. And I found my posture would change. My shoulders wouldn't be down. They'd be up. And it was like God was telling me, y'all got this now. Come on.
Yep.
Sit up. You got this. And she had to come to Florida to see if there was someone having tea with me. And so you know that's a bond when someone gets on a plane and comes to see about you.
Yeah, because I've always, you asked me about, like, motivators. What
yes.
What motivates me.
Yes, yes, I did.
And I've been thinking about it. What does really motivate me? And I can safely say I am motivated by persons, not people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I look at individuals, every individual, and I right away my mind wonders if it's a woman, could be a mom,
mm-hmm.
could be a sister,
mm-hmm.
could be a wife, could be a cousin. If it's a man, same thing, could be a father,
mm-hmm.
could be a husband, brother, son, so forth and so on. And then right away my mind mm-hmm. develops this respect. Respect for every one of those assignments,
mm-hmm.
and then I begin to develop these, you know, my descriptors, spheres.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, spheres.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, do I enter the sphere of her being a daughter? How do I enter the sphere of this individual being a mother?
Mm.
How do I enter the sphere of this person, individual, as a wife?
Mm-hmm.
So right away, I feel that, you know, this individual with all the spheres that he or she gets in and out of them on a daily basis
mm-hmm.
deserves nothing less but utmost respect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I saw in you initially. Now our spheres at times kind of like overlap, get in and out of
oh,
one another.
They're messy.
And messy.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
You know, and that's lovely.
Jelly does an interesting thing, and I need to tell you this. She, when you become her friend, it's like a black hole. You're not getting away.
That's right. That's right. There's no getting out of it.
And now imagine this. She has a lovely home. And oh, by the way, she gave me my first book signing. And I said, Jali, will anybody come? She's, oh, girl, just stop worrying about it. Now, Jali has two sons whom I had met by that time.
Yes.
So she shared them with me because I didn't have my own. But here's the thing. I'm African American. She's Muslim. We all have our tradition. She talked about Iran in the 70s, around 79.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had lived through the 60s. Mm-hmm. So we mm-hmm. knew what that felt like.
Yeah.
And so she just, you know, come on over. Well, now here I am in this lovely home. And this is a dinner party. This isn't the book signing. And there are all these lovely people. And Shelly entertained. She's a master in the kitchen. And the kitchen is not my friend. And she finds that so funny that sometimes she just cooks for me because she opens my refrigerator. Okay. All right. And then the next day she'll come with a week's worth of food I need to eat. Well, here we are at the dinner party, and she has several of her friends there. And on occasion, or more than on occasion, they're speaking in Farsi. Okay. So, you know, it's okay with me. You know, this is what you do. And to give you an idea, I'm always comfortable, but I realize, like, when Jali's mother is with us in that kind of environment, she's very interested in how I am. Well, I'll have you know, I went to an affair at their home last weekend. It was an engagement party for her husband's niece.
That's right.
And what it was amazing. There were like five or six different cultures there. It looked like the UN, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so Jolly's mother, I was sitting there with a friend of the family, and Jolly's mother was turned around and started speaking Farsi to her friend, and she says, "Tyra." I said, "What?" She says, "You do know if you're going to be in this family, you have to learn Farsi." And I was like, seriously, punish you. Surely you don't mean that.
Well, you know why she said that?
No.
Because language is still a barrier for my mother.
Yes.
Whom at times looks like my younger sister.
She's gorgeous, everybody.
Yes, 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 yes. And, you know, and though, because language is still a barrier, and she's always wanted to get to know you much better than she already knows you. That's why she says, well, heck, I'm not going to learn English any better than I already know at this age. So what's my best alternative to that is Tyra learning Farsi. So that's really the motivator for her.
She is so sweet. She makes the best cookies in the whole world.
Yes, she is a world-class baker.
Yes.
And let me tell you something about my mother and her sister. For them, cooking and baking is a matter of vital, and I do repeat, vital importance.
I know.
And you know what? They are such fierce competitors when it comes to going into the kitchen.
I didn't know that.
The competition still going very strong between my mom, her sister, and her aunt, maternal, you know, aunt. And God forbid if one of us would ask one of them when we all were together for family gatherings, oh, this is a lovely, lovely stew. How did you make it? What are the ingredients? And they would pause, and then they would very graciously offer the recipe. You would think, not so. You would go home happy that, you know, I'm going to just make an awesome stew the way that, you know, I tasted it.
Yeah.
It would turn out to be completely different because very graciously and very sneakily, they would leave one or two ingredients out.
No, no, no.
So to this day, my mother's signature pastry is Napoleon cake. And to this day, whomever has asked her for the recipe, has not succeeded to make Napoleon cake the way my mother makes it.
She's amazing.
She is a piece of work. That's what she is.
But it's kind of a fun intergenerational thing.
Yeah.
Like your sons with their grandmother. And what you all need to know is they have certain occasions when they dance. And the music plays. And I've been at Jolly's house when the boys have been home. One boy is playing on the piano. Another is playing
on the hammer dulcimer.
It's
called santur.
Santur, right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the first, I think it's my third show, Jolly came on with her son. And part of what she did, she reads poetry. Oh, my God. She recites it. And so her son brought his instrument, and he played while she read, and we could visualize the trees and the blossoms, and it was, you know, it's kind of nice to have a friend like this. You
well,
know?
I mean, after all, remember, I'm born Iranian. I come from the land where Rumi was born.
That's
poetry and music.
That's true.
Are such important and integral part of who I am.
And
that even after 40 some years, they are still.
It's always going to be you.
It's always going
and
to
I,
be
I've
part
always
of my makeup.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, sometimes I look at you and I see you in an aesthetic composite. And I have to remember you're an engineer.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah, don't remind me of that.
Okay, I won't remind you. But I wanted our audience to hear something fun. Okay.
Okay.
I want to talk about your Now, Jelly said she works for the government. That is our county government in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Yes. I actually now work for the Office to Prevent Homelessness. I like it.
Good.
I like
we,
it.
We need more people focused on that.
Yes, very important issue.
Right.
Yeah.
And what has happened as well is I'm watching now. I'm 100 years older than Jelly, which is kind of nice, too. We bonded across.
She is lying.
We bonded across the generations.
She is so lying.
No, not. Anyway, but I've watched Jali. She's watched me transition from working for someone to following my destiny, my dream, my passion, of which this show is one piece of that. And I've watched her. And I've watched her get agitated about, what am I going to do after this? What am I going to do? And then that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now she's going to tell you, my girlfriend has walked into nonprofit world, but not only walking into it, she hit it with a bang. But what I want her to talk about is the 180 degree difference of the cohorts that you serve between guests.
Well, I have been volunteering for the nonprofit sector organizations for over 10 years.
Yes.
About several years ago, five crazy women, yourself, myself included. Yeah,
you heard that slip, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Myself included, we founded a nonprofit called the Center for Improving Women's Lives.
Yes.
And we partner with an advocacy group, and we partner with organizations who work for women, victims of domestic violence, and also victims of the human trafficking.
Yes.
So we partner with organizations like Shared Hope, like Blue Campaign, like Just Ask, and we raise funds for them.
And all three of those are within the umbrella of domestic violence or human
trafficking.
Okay.
Yeah. So this last year, it got a little bit boring. So now I'm the chair of Center for Improving Women's Lives.
It is no longer boring.
No, it is not, because we started and we developed a program, financial literacy program.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do, again, we partnered with another organization called Friends of the Guest House in Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
They help women who have been in jail and prison for a variety of reasons to acclimate back into the community and society. So we met with the executive director, and I asked her, if you had your choice, what would you choose a really important gap in services that are provided for women who come in and stay with you? She said financial literacy. In other words, these women can use learnings, can use being taught financial management.
Right.
Some of them don't even know the difference between a checking account and a savings account.
That's what I wanted you to say. Yes.
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 So
yes.
Some of them don't even know the difference between income and asset and expenses. These words don't even come into their vocabulary. So three of us from Center for Improving Women's Lives, we kind of took that charge, and we developed a program, And I'm very proud to let you know that on December 8th, we piloted a workshop at the guest house. We had about 14 women.
Tell them what guest house is.
Oh, guest house is a nonprofit organization that is in Alexandria. And what they
Alexandria, do, Virginia.
Alexandria, Virginia, correct. I forget that not everybody lives in Fairfax County.
It's okay.
And what they do, they go into jail and prison again in Fairfax County. Mm-hmm. And they take applicants from the inmates. Mm-hmm. And they screen them. And upon their release, they are able to come and stay at the guest house. Mm-hmm. And they are then helped to find jobs and move or get acclimated, mm-hmm. and be somehow, I don't want to use the phrase released, but re-entered.
Transitioned.
Uh-huh. And re-entered, mm-hmm. into society. Mm-hmm. And I have met some wonderful, wonderful women through my interactions and work with the guest house, friends of the guest house.
Now, we need to put another comma there, and I'm going to ask the audience this question. When you have a boo in your life and she's passionate about something or some things, the question is, do you think she invites you to be a part of it as well? And the answer is, of course.
Of course, yes. So when we piloted our custom-made financial literacy workshop for these women, Tyra, let me tell you and let me share with your audience, it was truly one of the most powerful experiences that all three of us had. After the workshop, we were exhausted, but we looked at one another, and our treasurer, who was one of our instructors, looked at me and said, "Jale, now I'm in Christmas mood. Now I'm in holiday mood."
Now, I think we need to tell people, this is important, uh-huh. for them to understand. Jale has nonprofit experience and interest in,
right.
two different populations, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. And the women she's talking about that gave or performed or gave of themselves, yeah. to these women would not necessarily see these women or this population.
No, they wouldn't.
And yeah. so I think you described it best, because we spent the afternoon together after
that's
that.
Right.
You were
after
so
that.
Happy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you said, "Ty, the way I'm dressed now,"
mm-hmm.
and she was cute in her little outfit, "is not the way I went to guest house."
Yeah.
Because she couldn't dress that way.
No, no.
She had to dress in a way. Tell them.
Yeah. I had to dress in a way that people would, the attendees would not look at my clothes.
Yes.
Would just listen to my
yes.
words and would feel my presence.
Yes.
As I said, I was accompanied by two of our board members.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that we took coffee and snacks and stuff to them.
Candy.
Candy, yes. Candy and pretzels and Doritos and things like that. And I kind of, from the corner of my eye, I caught one of the women elbowing the other one and kind of sort of like whispering that, "Guess what? They brought coffee. Not any coffee, Starbucks coffee." And believe me, Tyra,
I know.
I had a lump in my throat.
I know.
To make a difference in someone's life, even for a moment, even for 2 hours on a Saturday morning, that's what it's all about.
Do you know, once, well, we spent the afternoon together, which was just fabulous. We
yeah.
did crazy things. But what I realized, because I had spent a couple of years doing research for the Department of Labor, Women's Bureau, on female offenders. So mm-hmm. I'd been in 20-some state prisons.
Right.
When you had this experience, you and I became closer, because
absolutely.
You knew
yeah.
what
yeah.
I did for 2 years.
Yes.
And so now we can just talk about it. I don't have to explain
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. So the good news is that the evaluations
yes.
that we got.
Yes.
We're very, very positive. We've been invited back as soon as possible, they said.
Yes.
Come back and do this workshop again, because this was an introductory workshop. But then we are working on the other workshop. So we are really, my goal is to develop a full curriculum in financial literacy.
Yes.
To take them from A to Z.
Yes.
And people who come to these workshops become familiar and able
to understand
really finances at the level that they can understand, internalize,
right.
and they can use it. That was the key thing for them, because there are a lot of these financial literacy curricula, if you will, and a lot of them, it's like they're going to go and teach the next loan officer how to get a loan. No. Mm-hmm. As I said, this audience, things need to be custom made for them,
mm-hmm.
because, as I mentioned, a lot of them didn't know the difference between savings accounts and checking accounts. How to
that
write
wasn't
a check.
That's not even their vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for including me in the visits to guests. And I
have had the
director on, as well as one of the residents,
mm-hmm.
who is phenomenal.
Yes.
But what?
Helena. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's a phenomenal
But what I wanted to
woman.
Say, she's taken this transitional experience, mm-hmm. to another level. She's now working with women who are in transition. That's the job she got. But her story is so compelling, and it is, I know it's on YouTube. Just look for Helena.
Yeah.
It's not from convict to citizen. It's something like that, the title. I'm sorry I'm messing that up. But what I want you to talk about very briefly, because I knew this was going to happen. I knew it.
But
we didn't even talk about one-third of what was on our agenda.
Yeah.
But I want you to talk about Transition Network, because I want you to talk about the women there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the women you've just talked about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And do it this way. What would you wear to the Transition Network meetings versus what you wore?
Yeah. I belong to another nonprofit organization called the Transition Network.
Mm-hmm.
That's for women over 50,
mm-hmm.
professional, who are trying to connect, empower one another,
mm-hmm.
Because they all are going through a form of transition.
Yes.
Now, to go to the Transition Network meetings, I really have to pull out my power suits.
Yes.
And I need to wear my designer boots.
Yes.
And a Ferragamo purse will buy me credibility. But when I go to the guest house,
No. What you wear?
Well, I've been known to show up in my sweats.
There you go.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And for me, it's been like Jali gave me a gift by letting me watch her in these two environments. Of course, she...
Now, I want to ask you a favor. You talked about poetry. If I have a minute, I want to read a poem.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Do I have a minute?
Yes, because what I'm going to do is change the agenda. Now, you're about to hear my boo.
Yes.
But she won't have any musical Oh, yeah, I can give you some musical accompaniment. Go ahead, girl. Start.
Okay. To be alive is looking through glass and seeing the light. To be alive is to endure. To be alive is to witness the birth of leaves on trees. To be alive is to feel the fields of flowers, the touch of wind, the fragrant spring breeze. Life is a path through a place filled with hope and love, a place where hearts are filled with faith. A place where friendship leads the way. A place with blue skies. A place where thoughts fly above the clouds. Life is not the end. Life is not the end. To be alive is not to die in place.
To be alive is not to betray life, is not to betray God.
Now, what did I tell you? Do you believe me now? Isn't my boo awesome? Well, guess what? She is not just Jolie and my boo. She is a daughter. She is a sister. She is a mother. She is a wife. She is an artist. She's an engineer. She's brilliant. She's lovely. And she's my friend. And I just, this has been really special. I have a feeling we're going to do this again. I think my show is starting to morph. I hope you listening can understand. We want to build this community. I want to get to a place where I have a show where you can call in and we can just comment on all kinds of things, right? Listen, I want to give you a thought. You know how I do. The doggy bag, the spiritual doggy bag. For that moment where you may slip into a place where you ask or even think, am I enough? Where you even think, I'm tired of being tired and nobody cares. Maybe you're yelling out loud, why me? Guess what? Stop it. Stop it right now. Check your label. You're worthy. You are enough. Just as you are. You are smarter than you think. You are stronger than you feel. You are more loved than you could ever imagine. Come on now. Hug yourself, okay? Your calling in life is to fully express who you already are. You have everything you need. Nothing you are missing. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Your seat at the table is guaranteed. Let me hear from you, Tyra@TyraGarlington.com. Let me hear if you want to hear Jolie come back and we have fun on our play date.
I will.
Oh, that's good news. Okay, y'all. I love you. I'm listening. Take good care. And treat yourself like someone you love. Put a smile on your face. And when no one else is encouraging you, encourage yourself. Bye now.